Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are.
In today's message, we'll explore the incredible mercy of God. His mercy is constant, faithful, and never-ending, and it meets us right where we are. Cheryl's message titled Mercy Matters.
So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 136. If you don't have your Bibles, there is just one line that you need to know, and it is, "For his mercy endures forever." Say it with me. "For his mercy endures forever." So I will cue you when it's your turn. So you can do that. "For his mercy endures forever." I know some of us are older and we have senior moments. I'm in that crowd. But you can do this line. Okay, verse 10. Here we go. "To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn.
For his mercy endures forever.
And brought out Israel from among them.
For his mercy endures forever.
With a strong hand, with an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two.
For his mercy endures forever.
And made Israel pass through the midst of it.
For his mercy endures forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him who led his people through the wilderness.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him who struck down great kings.
For his mercy endures forever.
And slew famous kings.
Sihon,
king of the Amorites.
For his mercy endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
For his mercy endures forever.
And gave their land as a heritage.
For his mercy endures forever.
A heritage to Israel, his servant.
For his mercy endures forever.
Who remembered us in our lowly state.
For his mercy endures forever.
And rescued us from our enemies. Who gives food to all flesh.
For his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Okay, so do you get the idea of where we're going to go? Do you get it? So what endures forever? Whose mercy? And what endures, what in the world does that mean? It means it puts up, it keeps going. How long does this mercy last? Forever. Like, will it be there right now? Is it going to be there when we leave? Will it be there tonight? Tomorrow when you read those new bills? When you realize you don't have enough money to buy everyone a really nice present for Christmas, will it be there?
Yes.
His mercy endures forever. When the Bible talks about forever, you know what it's talking about? It's not just talking in the age to come. It's talking about no breaks, a constancy. Isn't that great? It's about a constancy. His mercy just keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. I love that word endures because it's just, it won't stop. It puts up. It's like the amazing force field, right, of mercy. So his mercy endures forever. I'm going to pray one more time just to kind of get our hearts ready for the message. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that mercy is your idea. Mercy is your desire. Mercy is what you love. Thank you, Father, that you delight in mercy, that you're a God who wants and desires, craves mercy, takes pleasure in mercy. Father, again, we're here so thankful for Jesus. For Jesus who showed us who you really, really are and how you really, really felt. Jesus who brought us back into reconciliation with you. Jesus who knows you better than anyone else. Jesus, God incarnate. Jesus, the very Son of God. Jesus who pleased you in every word, in deed, in action. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Work in us what you crave, what you desire. Father, let us be emissaries, ambassadors, and vessels and houses of mercy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in our house this week, we meet Matthew. And Matthew was a tax collector, right? He's at the booth. And he's collecting taxes when suddenly Jesus walks by. Do you ever have that least likely to be saved list? I've had one of those lists. I have to say that. I have had a list of least likely to be saved. Madonna's at the top. I just want you to know. Not that I don't pray for her, but she's kind of, you know, really, Lord? But I pray for her. But, you know, I don't have a lot of faith, I have to admit. But, you know, I have my least likely to be saved. And I have to tell you, something's going wrong because a lot of those people on that list have gotten saved lately. People I know, friends of Brian's, that I just was like, Brian, why are you wasting your time? But they've gotten saved. The Lord working. But for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, religious elite, tax collectors were the least likely to be saved. One, they worked for the Roman oppressors. They worked for those that Israel considered their enemy, those who were bossing them around, taking power from them, those who were resented by the Jewish community. And the tax collectors were renowned for their extortive practices. And so you might owe $10. It's like a crooked IRS agent, right? You already owe enough in taxes, but they come along and say, hey, for another $500, you know, I'll square you with Uncle Sam. And they won't visit you for 5 years. We're like, okay. But that's what Matthew was part of, a group of tax collectors. In fact, by the religious elite, the tax collectors were considered irredeemable and fully condemned. Talk about the least likely to be saveless. They were on the never will be saved list, already condemned. But Jesus sees Matthew in this booth, this tax collector, and Jesus is walking by and he locks eyes with him. And I think he did this, you follow me. And Matthew's like, okay, that's it. I'm doing it. And he just gets up and he leaves his booth. He leaves his profession. How irresponsible is that, right? And just goes and begins to follow Jesus. I was doing a podcast yesterday on this woman named Mary Aldersey who went as a missionary to China from England. It's a long story about how she got there and what she did. You'll have to listen to the podcast. I don't know when it's going to be out, but you have to just keep listening to Women Worth Knowing because you never know. But what happened is this wrinkled old lady in her 80s, Chinese woman bent over, comes to her and she said, I want to hear about Jesus. I hear you know Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. So Mary Aldersey begins to share with her about Jesus. And this woman said, that's what I want. That's what I want. She said, I'm very, very wealthy. And these Buddhist priests, all they've wanted to do is take, 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 take. And now I'm a Jesus follower. And she said, they just want my money. And she goes, watch what I do with my money. She went down to the Yangtze River and she piled up all her money and she set it on fire. And she said, this does not matter anymore. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. Talk about follow me, right? Follow me. Like, I'm done. I'm done with the tax collecting. I'm done with my old lifestyle. I am done. What is it? Put a fork in it. I am done. You never know with me because I always get the utensils mixed up. Brian said, I mix my metaphors worse than anybody else he knows. You know, I had, I said, you know, it's like taking, what did I say? I don't know. I can't remember what I said. Never mind. Because, oh, I know. I said, you know, they just don't have their eggs all in a row. Or all their ducks in a basket. He's like, no, 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 no. And I'm like, yes, I am telling you the truth, Brian. I know. And he goes, no, it's your metaphor. Your principal is right. Your metaphor is so off. And in fact, he said, I'm going to start writing these down every time you do it. And I said, it's like a bowl in a tea shop one time too. And he's like, no, it's a china shop. It's an invitation by Jesus to Matthew to walk in his company. Follow me. Hang out with me. Be around me. It's an invitation to a whole new community. No longer the community of tax collectors and sinners, but the community of the redeemed, the community of the followers of Jesus. It is an offer of a whole new identity. No longer known as Matthew the tax collector, but Matthew, the disciple of Jesus, Matthew, the gospel writer. It is the opportunity to be discipled by Jesus, to learn about God from Jesus, who knows God better than anyone else, to learn the ways of God. It's an invitation to serve others. Matthew is so moved by this offer that he begins to follow immediately. And then he throws a huge banquet, a huge party. I call this a Matthew party, right? You just open the doors, you open the windows, you just fling them open, and you say, anyone who wants to come and meet Jesus, come. He's just changed my life, and I want you to meet Jesus. When I was a young girl, my dad got an invitation by some guy up in Hollywood that he knew because he sang, named Pat Boone, to go up there because Pat Boone had gotten saved and had all these friends that he just wanted them to know Jesus. So my dad went up there and he just shared Jesus with all these people. My mom wouldn't go because there were going to be beautiful women and she was going to be too intimidated. So she stayed home and prayed. And she got home and said, Chuck, who is there? Who is there? He goes, I don't know. People. And she's like, but who, Chuck? Because my dad never watched television. And he goes, you know, a Bob Goulash. She's like, Robert Goulet? He's like, yeah. And he had a wife named Carol. Carol Lawrence? Yeah. I wonder why she had a last name that was different than her husband. And it went on and on and on. And they were there just to ask questions. They were there just to say what, you know, they didn't agree with, what they had, you know, the false ideas that they heard about the Bible or about God. And my dad just went just to say, okay, this is what the Bible says. Then they invited him up the next week and the next week and the next week until Pat Boone took over the study. But it's a Matthew party. It's not the regular people that, you know, the righteous that are there. It's the ones who need Jesus. They need an introduction to Jesus. They need to just see Jesus. They need to just hear Jesus. They need to watch Jesus. They need to know what is Jesus' reaction to this. If I'm critical, will Jesus condemn me? If I disagree, will Jesus condemn me? Will I be kicked out of this Matthew party? And instead, they find this wise, wise sage or prophet, this man who looks like them, has hands, his feet, who is willing to dialogue, willing to talk, willing to answer questions, willing to engage with them, willing to take their criticisms, to identify their fears. They can voice their objections. They can ask their questions. They can honestly disclose the impediments that they've had toward walking with God. Here's all the things. You know, I can't keep the law. How can I ever be saved? I live with a woman in adultery. How can I ever be right with God? And Jesus has the answers for everyone. It's a Matthew party. At this party, there are quite a few tax collectors and sinners. And we're told in Matthew 9 that they have been following Jesus at a distance, kind of watching him. Don't you think they're hoping? And I think Matthew's having this party because he's saying, if Jesus can save me, a tax collector, he can save anyone. Paul would say the same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, I think God put me first and forward, kind of at the front of the line, showcased me so that others would know if God can save someone who once persecuted the church and sent Christians to jail, caused havoc, if God can save someone like Paul, then most certainly he can save me. If God wants somebody like Paul, if Jesus called somebody like Paul, washed away Paul's sins and put him in the ministry, then certainly Jesus will forgive my sins and has a plan, a good plan for me. So this is a Matthew party. I want you to meet the Jesus that turned my life in a whole different direction. I want you to meet the Jesus that so loved me. I want you to meet the Jesus that forgave me every sin I ever committed. I want you to meet the Jesus who gave me a new identity. I want you to meet the Jesus who made me right with God. I remember Brian, after he got saved, he had another friend, Mark, and they decided to start praying for all of their friends who were unsaved still. So it was Mark and Brian, and then another Mark joined, and they began to pray and pray and pray. And they would all concentrate on one person. They were all new believers, so they didn't really know how this was done. They really didn't even know how to pray. In fact, I remember, you know, he told me their prayers were kind of like, hey, God, so good to talk to you. Thanks that we get to do this because of Jesus. Will you save Tony? You know, and we just really want to see Tony come and know all of this. The next week, Tony gets saved. And Tony comes, he says, Lord, you know, I got this girlfriend I'm living with, Tammy. She needs to be saved because, you know, she just doesn't get it. And so Tammy gets saved. Then they start, Tony was in a band, so they start praying for the other members of the band and they get saved. So Brian had this open invitation to his apartment that anyone could come. And I remember I was taken by somebody else to this apartment. I'll tell you the reason I was taken. There was a Bible study I went to, and the Bible study leader said to me, there's this guy named Brian, and he has a crush on you, and everybody else who has a crush on you, I say no, but I think this is the guy you're supposed to marry. And I'm like, I don't even know who this is. I don't even remember. You talked to him. I said, I don't remember talking to him. I don't remember this. He goes, okay, we'll go to his house, because he has this open time at his house for all his old friends and everything. I want you to see what goes on. So he takes me in, and I have to tell you, I was scared to death at Brian's house, and I'll tell you why. A guy walked in with safety pins all around his ear, dressed all in white leather with red boots. Tony and Tammy came, and it was really hard to tell Tony from Tammy and Tammy from Tony, except for Tammy was shorter. They both had these bouffant hairstyles, like bouffant. Long, bouffant. I mentioned bouffant, right? And they were both dressed in skin-tight leotards. And it's like, okay, where am I? And what planet is this? You know, I went to UCI, you know? I had a different crowd. I went to the College and Career Group. I got Citizen of the Month, like, every month. You know, I beat out all the other kids. And I'm in this whole new... I was at a Matthew party. And then Brian's like, hey, I'm gonna I'm going to play some songs for you. And so then those who were saved begin to sing. And, you know, I ended up leaving because Brian didn't want me there because he felt like this Bible study leader was forcing something that should just be God. So then I felt rejected and like, I don't think he's the one for me, but you know he was. But I still remember that Matthew party. There is nothing like a Matthew party. Brian was invited out to Corona a couple years ago because a woman who was a professor had gotten saved. And she invited all the other professors at the college, anyone who wanted to come, to freely ask questions from somebody who was on pastor's perspective, that they could say their objections, they could say their criticisms, they could talk about the things that bothered them that they had seen in the church or by church leaders. It was an open forum. Brian wasn't there to say, how dare you ask that question? You sinner, you'll probably all go to hell. No, he was there just to answer. Just to answer. It was a Matthew party. It was a Matthew party. And Matthew parties are a time to be absolutely 100% honest. It's a time to meet with tax collectors and sinners and show them the hope, the love, the difference that Jesus makes. Now, there are quite a few tax collectors and sinners, and they're not ready to commit. And I think that they're not sure that they're redeemable. I remember sharing the Lord with one young woman, and she said, if you knew who I was and what I've done, you wouldn't be telling me this. You wouldn't want me here. You wouldn't even want me in your car. And I said, really? I think I would. And I told her a story that we'll get into later, Jesus in the House from Luke chapter 7, about the woman who was a sinner, and how Jesus said, the one who is forgiven much loves much. And I said, because you're aware of all your sin, you actually have a greater opportunity to understand the forgiveness and the transforming power of Jesus and the love. I said, you know, I got saved it too. There's only so much sin you can do. But you know the transforming power. You know how much was wiped out by Jesus. You have so much potential to love Jesus. But Jesus is the person of honor at Matthew's banquet. The house is packed out. Do you realize that Jesus did not refuse the invitation to meet with sinners and tax collectors? Every house that we will be looking at, Jesus never refused an invitation to a house. Never. In fact, we're told in Revelation 3:16, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone opens the door, I will come in and I will sup with him. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, I will in no way cast him out. Jesus does not reject. Jesus does not cancel. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we go through our day going, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. Let me say, he loves me, 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 he loves me. He will not cancel you out. He will not reject you. He might chasten you. He might give you a little swat, as my father used to do to me for washing the dog in the rain. I don't get that one still. All of a sudden, the swat came, and I didn't know it was coming. He also did that when I painted the window. I don't know why. He will in no way cancel. He will in no way say, I don't want you after all. It was a mistake to invite you in. He doesn't say, oh, it was a mistake to come into this house. I'm leaving. No, he sits down. He says, I'm here. I'm taking over. And I'm going to make my presence known. Jesus was the person of honor in that house.
God's mercy reaches into every corner of our lives with compassion and grace. No failure is too great, and no heart is too far for his love to restore. as we receive his mercy, we are changed and strengthened by his kindness. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, we'll continue our study titled Mercy Matters. We do hope you'll make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com.
We will come before you, Lord, in wonder, We will fall on our knees and surrender. We surrender to you.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.